Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Money Crimes is a podcast all about the dark side of finance and sometimes murder. Find Money Crimes on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
I want to welcome in Glenn Caffrey, who came across my desk from our neighbor, Naomi. And first of all, Glenn, good morning.
Thank you. Good morning, Brian.
I don't even know where to start with you, to be quite honest. And so Glenn has done ultra marathons in 49 of the 50 states to raise money and awareness for Alzheimer's. And your journey in on multiple levels is amazing. But, you know, people who don't know you, I think, go back to your story. And it's an emotional story, to be quite honest. When I read it, I couldn't help but be a little emotional because we all have parents. Everyone gets old. And just tell your story about how you came about to get so involved in trying to raise awareness and money for Alzheimer's.
Sure. I'll try to tell a long story quickly. My dad was a great dad. He was very sharp, very attentive, very caring, calming during volatile teenage years, very athletic. And I left home after college and one day was passing through and he told me he had retired that day at age 54, which, you know, was a shock to me. It made no sense. I pressed him and he very awkwardly told me he was diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease. It made no sense to me.
How many years ago? This
was in the late 80s. So it was a long time ago. I was in my mid 20s and I had one young child, I think, at the time. We were just passing through, it made no sense at that time. You know, Alzheimer's wasn't talked about. I didn't know about early onset Alzheimer's. I didn't recognize symptoms at the time, although, of course, looking back, there were lots of behaviors which used to frustrate me that I now see as early Alzheimer's. But at the time, I didn't. I just thought it was my frustrating dad. And then he began his very painful journey. It was about as awful as I could imagine. He had a lot of physical symptoms. He was a football player in college in the leather helmet days, a lineman. So my guess is he had a lot of small head bangs that also compounded the
Alzheimer's.
Could have
been like a CT kind of thing?
It could have been in addition. I mean, he definitely was diagnosed with Alzheimer's at autopsy. And he had Alzheimer's symptoms, but there were other symptoms as well, which caused him a lot of pain, a lot of fear. He was very paranoid, very different than his normal self. Although his normal self was always present, he became very dangerous because he was in his early 50s, incredibly athletic and strong,
right,
and scared a lot. And so so navigating a very healthy, relatively young man and the deficits that come with Alzheimer's was very difficult for my mom. Eventually, he went to a wonderful institution in Southington, the Alzheimer's Resource Center, which was great, but it was really challenging for them. I won't go into details; they're too painful.
And then he lived for how much longer?
He lived for 13 years.
Wow!
Which was, I mean, 10 of those were awful years. I mean, again, he was him. You know, you looked in his eyes. He couldn't talk. He never slept. He was hunched over, very clearly in pain. Couldn't feed himself. You know, it was very tough living for him and for my mom, and so it was just impossible to.
Right.
To process, so I didn't.
Right.
And that's where the first, in 2011, I did a transcontinental run to raise money for Cure Alzheimer's Fund, this wonderful organization based in Massachusetts that funds research toward a cure for Alzheimer's. But mostly it was just to grieve. I just bottled it up and it was a chance to just process.
So you ran by yourself across the whole country?
Yeah, with a little jog stroller with my camping gear and all my, you know, all my needs. And I just, every day I'd get up and I'd run toward home.
So you started out west and ran east?
Yeah, mostly because I didn't expect to make it. So I wanted to run in the exotic parts of the country first. But I didn't realize until I started that this feeling of running home was incredibly motivational. Every day was important because I get antsy if I'm anticipating something big, and just doing it is much easier. So just every day getting up and running, my goal was 50 miles a day, and I just run 50 miles toward home.
Which 50 or 15?
50, yeah.
Every day?
Every day. But I used, you know, I used the whole day. I'd get up at 5 in the morning and I'd run usually the last 10 miles in twilight or after dark. And it was lovely. Yeah.
I'm talking with Glenn Caffrey. And by the way, if people want to get involved, because your second leg of your journey is what we're going to talk about in our next hour. But if people want to learn about the journey, where can they go?
So alzrun.org okay. is the website. And I have a Instagram presence, but that's how they can get access to every information.
Yeah. So you go to alzrun.org and you can actually read more about Glenn's story and also see every single route that he's run in this recent journey of 49 of 50 states to do an ultra marathon. I'll ask questions. You can answer them if you want to. You don't have to. Like, was your wife like, are you nuts? Or was like, that's you're gone for a long time.
Yeah, so she knew I was nuts, so that was nothing new. And she's just really accommodating. She trusts me, so she doesn't worry a lot. The weird thing for me is my first trip, my mom didn't worry, and she is the biggest worrier that I know, and it just was such an impactful experience for a family that I think she was really glad I was engaging with it. But you know, it was very dangerous running on the roads with a jog stroller. You know, I'm running into traffic. There's rumble strips which push me into traffic sometimes. You know, it's very dangerous. I was very careful, but you know, my mom, my wife, they didn't worry.
Did you come home feeling like it was cathartic enough? Did you make peace on that trip?
So I think the biggest transformation was that I didn't feel powerless anymore. I think I was just basically feeling, I mean, my experience wasn't my dad's experience. My dad's experience, I can't fathom. And my mom's experience as his caregiver, and they were such a great partnership, is I can't fathom. So my experience is a very different experience, but I couldn't process it. And I felt so victimized by it and just feeling like there's something I could do. Cure Alzheimer's Fund that I was raising money for, they feel like family. They do really good work. They are my hope. So, you know, it was really nice to feel like I could fundraise for money that would go toward research directed very specifically toward finding a cure. So that was really empowering. I don't know that means that I can feel like I'm done with grieving. I'm going to grieve the rest of my life. So
we're talking with Glenn Caffrey, who is a huge, I would say, 98% done with, he's been running. He ran all summer, did an ultra marathon in a different state every other day for the whole summer. Mm-hmm. And now has Alaska left, but we're going to wait until there's more daylight and warmth in Alaska. He's going to do it in June. And if you want to go to alzrun.org, you can look at all of it, from the routes he's run to everything. And you can also find ways to donate to Alzheimer's. We do a lot of work with the Alzheimer's Association of Connecticut on the show. We have them on all the time and support their walks and so on and so forth. I want to ask you, so what made you compelled 13 years later to do this again?
I can't give you a good answer for that. It just, I...
Were you like Forrest Gump and you just decided to start running?
No, I never anticipated running across the country. A lot of people subsequently have told me they always wanted to do that. I never wanted to do that. It just felt like something that I could do that was big. I had met a lot of people on my trip who were doing big things, but that weren't so kind of clean, like Pacific to Atlantic. There was just something about that goal that seemed real to me in ways that, you know, I think changed during my experience of it. It was a very different experience than I expected.
I just think it's an undersold and undertold story. Like, what you're doing is incredible. And I know you do your Instagram, you know, clips and stuff, but how much are you chronicling video-wise of what you did this past summer?
Yeah, so during the 2011 run, I had no capacity to take notes. I got to bed at midnight and had to get up at 5, and I didn't have any power or anything. So so this time I was very intentional about every single run. I created a compilation of 90 seconds of video highlights, and I wrote in Instagram, you have 2,200 characters. So I wrote 2,199 characters
every
worth
time.
Time. So the nice thing is it doesn't blur together. I have a recollection. And so since I've gotten back a couple weeks ago, I'm now reflecting on it and processing and writing notes about it.
We're going to talk more with Glenn Caffrey, again, who's 49 of 50 states into an ultra marathon journey to raise awareness and money for Alzheimer's. And he'll be with us here after the turn. We're here with Glenn Caffrey. And again, if you're just joining us, Glenn is at the tail end of traveling the country over the summer, did an ultra marathon every other day, and he's going to do it in all 50 states to raise money and awareness for Alzheimer's. And if you want to get on board or read about his journey, you can go to alzrun.org, and he's got all of his routes. And you've done 49 of the 50 states.
I've done 49 of 50, yeah.
So there's a bunch of questions I have.
Yeah.
You know, one is the organizational side of it.
Yeah.
Like, did you sit down and spend a couple of days and just map the whole thing out, or did you do it as you were going? Like, because that's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, so exactly that, except a couple months, not a couple days.
It took that long.
Yeah, to research routes in each state. I mean, I didn't know starting if there were worthy routes in every state. I mean, I don't want to waste my time going to places.
And it had to be a trail run?
So they had to be trail runs, and they had to be at least ultra distance. And so I had to piece together trails. You know, sometimes there are classic routes that are long enough, and sometimes there weren't, so I'd piece together popular trails.
How do you define an ultra? It has to be a marathon?
So people have different feelings about it. Anything longer than a marathon is an ultra. So my runs average 33 miles. They range from 28 to 48 miles long.
Wow.
And the distance is really not what makes it hard. It's all the terrain features.
You've always been a runner? Like, that's your thing?
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't a competitive runner in high school. I was an athlete in other sports, but I like to run. And as a young adult, I started running more regularly. And I love running. I find joy in running. Biomechanically, I'm very fortunate that my body moves very efficiently.
You're lucky.
I'm very lucky, yeah. And also, I've worked really hard at maintaining my fitness, and I really prize taking good care of my body.
And you're how old?
I'm 63.
So you're 63, and you were telling me off mic that your body actually feels better after having done all this.
It feels totally better than I have since I was in my 20s. And
how do you account for that?
So let me first say that better means I don't have any like vulnerabilities. Like, I don't worry about my knee and normally there's something I'm nursing,
right,
or something that injured me that keeps me from running. And I account for it by just moving, a lot, for every other day. I mean, sitting in the car is the worst thing you can do for running, but I think that was balanced out by just spending the entire day, every other day, running in the woods. And that means varied terrain, which I think is really key, repetitive road running, but also just really listening to my body, going slowly when I want to go slowly, going fast when I want to go fast, just really attending to my body.
So are you laboring? Are you sometimes walking? Or are you like legit running the whole time?
Yeah, so I'm really good at not wasting energy. Sometimes I run hard just for the sheer joy of it. Sometimes there's a beautiful trail and I'll labor just because I want to. But mostly I'm really economical. My heart rate's very, very low. And so it's something that's sustainable.
Are you human?
I think what's interesting to me is I don't think I'm special in this regard. I think what I'm good at is listening to my body and being gentle and taking good care of myself, fueling well, hydrating well. But I don't think what I have is particularly special, except I think I am biomechanically gifted. I think I have good genetics in terms of my body moves efficiently. Some people's bodies, are less efficient. So I might go faster than someone else at the same effort level.
And we have a bunch more questions. We'll have a couple of minutes here, and then we'll have from 8:20 to 8:30. So I want to ask about the sleeping, and I also want to ask about a couple of other elements of the journey. And like I said, if you want to see, he has every single route from all 49 states that he's done. If you go alzrun.org and you can just click on it, but also it's just /routes and R-O-U-T-E-S. And you can see every single one. He's got the loop and he's got the explanation. He has, I think, your performance on Strava. You can click on it and see what it looks like on Strava too. I mean, there's all these links. There's GPS, there's flyover, Strava, there's all these different ways to look at it. Is that what that is?
Yeah, what I'm most proud of is the 90-second video reels after each
run. Instagram.
Yeah, on Instagram. It's, that captures how blessed we are to have these beautiful natural places.
Yeah, and so the handle is ALZ Run. Is it under that?
So, yep, ALZ Run, yep.
And he gives a long explanation of each particular one. But I want to ask you about, you know, you have a lot of time to contemplate and think on these runs, right? And, you know, your dad passed because of Alzheimer's and he had early onset. Like, how worried are you about yourself?
Yeah, so like pretty much everyone I know, I overinterpret every little memory blip I have. You know, there are lots of natural aging processes that we all navigate, and we find ways of accommodating that. So I'm no different than everyone else. I have a genetic link to Alzheimer's. I don't know what it is. I've been tested in as part of research studies, but I don't know what my current brain pathology is. I don't know what my current genetic predisposition to Alzheimer's is. But my aunt and uncle also died of Alzheimer's. My dad had early onset Alzheimer's. So I think I'm more likely than most. I have a sense of my mental status. What I'm most happy about is that the mental part of this journey was much harder than the physical part and scared me a lot more. I was really worried that I might discover I just can't handle the cognitive load of living in my car and dealing with this very tight timeline and making decisions on the fly. And so what I'm most gratified by is that I not only managed to do that and stay safe, but I feel like I'm sharper.
You know,
yeah. So just like my body feels more healthy by running a lot, I think my brain feels healthier by processing a lot more than I normally do.
It's so fact, because we're actually going to talk to somebody, Bruce Adams, next, who isn't as he's younger than both of us and had a heart attack. And like the body's interesting because it is an engine.
Yeah.
And if a little thing goes wrong with the engine, the whole engine can fail. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, sometimes the more engines in use, the better it works. And, you know, I talk to my parents who are in their 80s, and we got to take a break here. It sounds kind of harsh, but the minute you stop moving, you start dying. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's sort of, I really feel like that's true. Mm-hmm. And you're sort of a living embodiment of that, right? Like, because your engine got better the more it was used. Right? Mm-hmm. I think that's maybe it's not true for everybody, but I think that it is an important life lesson in terms of being active. Just a couple more minutes with Glenn Caffrey. You know, like I said, I think we got to try to find ways to get your story told by and seen by more people. If you go to ALZ Run on Instagram, you can... You basically have a post for every single one with a 90-second video.
Yeah.
And you said how many characters?
So 2,200 characters, which is good for me to be limited.
It's a good challenge to edit yourself, too, right?
Because
you kind of have to because you probably want to write more.
Right.
And if you go to alzrun.org, you can see it all. This is something that... it's not like you have this huge independent wealth and you don't have some sponsor. So... You had to do this on a budget.
Right.
And that meant you didn't stay in hotels and motels.
No, I slept in my car and I lived as cheaply as possible, which actually has a benefit. Like leaving in the morning from a cushy hotel bed is a lot
harder
more
to get up. Yeah, that's true.
It was never hard to get out of bed.
But I mean, how did you sleep?
I slept like a baby because I was tired all the time. So I had half my car was cargo and half my car was a bunch of old sleeping pads and a mattress topper.
What kind of car? Like, could you sprawl? Because you're not tall.
Cushy Toyota Prius with 250,000 miles on it. And
so you had to charge that sucker too.
It's gasoline.
Oh, it's
hybrid.
Both. Yep. Okay.
And, but its brakes were failing. It was a whole worry on its own. But it made it with a big brake job in Phoenix.
So a couple of logistical questions.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
One is nutrition.
Yeah.
I mean, you're burning a ton of calories, so you have to make sure you don't bonk or have these issues. Like, was that a challenge, having the right food mix and getting...
Yeah. So it was a primary concern, but it wasn't hard. In my 2011 run, it was hard to find places to buy any food. This time, I just, I had a car, so I would, after a run, just get a huge, like, big gulp for a dollar of, like, ridiculous amounts of soda or... orange juice
to get sugar back into your
lots
body.
Lots of sugar, but also I was really attentive to protein. So, as a vegetarian, eggs are big. But I also have some lactose intolerance. But I found this ultra filtered chocolate milk that every single store seems to have, no matter how remote. And so I would get a half gallon of this high protein chocolate milk, which gave me both calories. And orange juice has 1,000 calories. This chocolate milk had 1,000 calories. I just eat lots and lots of food.
So, but you did it more sort of Like, it wasn't, like, calculated. You just sort of, like, or did you really think about how much calories you needed?
Yeah, so it was calculated beforehand, but as I learned very quickly that I was able to sustain really high energy just by eating regular food. And by regular food, you know, these are Oreo. I have a Costco membership, so I'd get Costco snack packs and giant boxes, and I would eat Oreos, Pepperidge Farm, Goldfish.
So you sort of licensed to eat all the garbage that you wanted to.
And I didn't have much of an appetite, so anything that appealed to me, I went for. So, you know, it was
wild. So you could eat all the bad stuff.
All the bad stuff.
Oh, that's really...
And these Big Gulps, I've never experienced them. They're amazing. They have like a gallon of soda and they fit
for 89
in a,
cents.
And they fit in a cup holder.
Because so, they get narrow at the bottom. That's right. It's right, so funny.
So now I can't do that anymore, but it was fun.
But you would do a loop though, logistically. So you'd go park your car like at a trailhead and do your loop and then you would come back to your car. Right, so that was sort of how it works. It wasn't like you went from... on a linear A to B, you did a circle, so you didn't have to worry about staging it.
A couple shuttles, some out and backs, but I always tried to find loops. That was my primary planning objective, is to be able to get back to my car. And then usually I'd have to drive a few hours to find a place to sleep afterwards, which was probably the most dangerous time when my brain is kind of muddy from a day of concentrating, and then I'm very tired, and it's dark, and I'm on unfamiliar roads. And so that was probably the riskiest time.
Any stories whether it be wild animals or getting held up at knife point? Did anything happen?
Yeah, I was consistently lucky throughout the entire trip. I just felt like a lot of stuff could have gone wrong. I mean, some stuff, I got COVID, things went wrong. I broke ribs. I had a stomach bug.
How'd you break your ribs? You fall?
Yeah, I fell twice. If I fell in the most smooth possible. I mean,
just tripped over a tree root or something?
I found the technical running, the really rocky running, the kind of Connecticut running with all the rocks. Yeah. I was averse to that before starting, but I got so practiced at it by doing it a lot that it felt really fun. And I was very safe on technical rocky running. But the smooth running, when I was kind of not paying attention, there would be a little stump or something I didn't see. And I'd go down and usually land on one of my devices, like my camera. I'd land on my camera or I'd land on a water bottle lid or something. And
wind knocked out of you.
Yeah. And so those, I fell maybe six times, which is pretty amazing.
But if you broke a rib, you can't run.
Yeah, no, you can run. I mean, but these are cracked. And, I don't know whether the intercostal muscles are as painful as a broken rib and they heal about the same timeline.
But you can't breathe well with that stuff.
You can't breathe well. So, part of what I was doing, even with COVID, is just trying to take care of my body while I'm moving all day. And I found that this kind of idea of active recovery, which is what is recommended for everything, worked well when I had a hurt rib or COVID or whatever. I just moved very slowly and carefully.
I just think it's incredible. We only have about a minute left. And again, if you want to – I did want to ask you quickly. You're born and raised in Wallingford, Connecticut, and – what was the Connecticut run like and where did you go?
Yeah, it was amazing. So the Connecticut run was on the Metacomet Ridge and the New England Trails, places I used to go as a kid, as a teenager, where, when I first got my license, I'd drive out there and just hike around. And so it had a lot of emotional impact. Also, we went around Ragged Mountain, where I used to climb in college. So it was very emotional. Two dear friends joined me from Massachusetts to run there. So it was really, really lovely. It was very emotional. One of my favorite runs of everything.
What was your favorite? Connecticut coming home was something, but you've run marathon pluses in every state except for Alaska. What was your favorite?
Yeah. So I'm not going to give you a satisfying answer, but the runs with my daughters were the very best and they happened to be in spectacularly beautiful places.
Did you run with one daughter in Oregon?
I ran with one daughter in Oregon and Washington, but these circumnavigations around Mount Hood and Mount St. Helens. So they're spectacularly beautiful. And I'm with my daughter and my dad and I didn't have a relationship at this age. So it just was so precious to have that time. And then my other daughter in Michigan and Rhode Island, and then with other people, the runs with other people were very clearly the best. The mountains out the Northwest are my favorites. Hawaii was amazing. The exotic places, Utah, Arizona, Texas, Louisiana, surprisingly West Virginia. Those were really amazing, beautiful places. I had full wildflower bloom in the Tetons, which is a dream. But often it's just, every person who walks or runs, sometimes the light's magical. Sometimes just whatever it is, it's a special day. And so even runs that weren't spectacularly sexy, beautiful, were among my favorites just because of the time and moment.
Will you do it again?
I will do this kind of thing because I love going to new places and exploring by running. Yeah. So, but not a 50 state.
Well, we want to raise some money for Alzheimer's. It's an incredible story. If you want to read more about Glenn Caffrey, just go to alzrun.org and you'll get it all, including it shows you how long they were, how much he climbed, the highest point. I mean, it's all the information's there. It's amazing. And we will be in touch with Glenn when he does his Alaska run. Maybe we'll even talk to him mid-run. It was a pleasure. It was really great to meet you so much. And to hear your story.
Thank you. It's an honor.